Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them,
and what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay, so what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails, I don't respond to work calls, I don't read
from Friday night,
Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No. That's right.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
Before we even take the job or go down the road, here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job. I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was
Weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to, literally, it feels like he's speaking to me. You know, because she, everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land happy, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I get the
after
job,
I get what I want.
I'll tell them.
Right.
Yeah.
But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
that's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We're also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens, then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath. So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from Friday night sundown
to Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No.
That's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's the good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love this,
before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's the commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it
is
the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
What is interesting is that you allow your faith, your belief in God, to be at the forefront of who you are in a place where most of us, and you even say in the book, I remember when I said to my father, I was like 13, 14, that I'm going to be an actress. No daughter of mine is going to be going out to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, boy.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know the line.
Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, right. So you're living in what a lot of certainly traditional Christian people see Hollywood as the land of everything but following the path of your faith. How do you make it out there?
Well, you make it by being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
like literally for your first job, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's right.
I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off. And what happened was
weren't you scared to say that?
Yeah, I was scared. It wasn't intentional.
Like it wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional, but I'm there in the interview.
Yes.
And God starts to literally, it feels like he's speaking to me, you know, because everything goes great. I feel like, okay, yeah, I got this in the bag. You know how you just go in and you land happy, it's all good. But at the end of the interview, it was like God was saying, tell her about the Sabbath. And I'm like, no, I'll tell her after I get the internship.
After I
get what I want.
I'll tell her.
Right. Yeah. But he said, no, be obedient. And so I said, man, all right, well, here's the thing. I can't take this internship if I have to work Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown because I observe the Sabbath. And she was quiet. And then after a moment, she said, don't worry. Work around that. And I said, hallelujah. And what it did was it gave me confidence that if I embrace who I am, it will open doors, not shut them. Also,
That's really big. Hold that a moment. Pause. Tweet, tweet. Okay, good. Go ahead.
We also thinking about doors, right?
Yeah.
If your faith won't fit in the door that opens,
yeah,
then I argue do not walk through that door. The door that God has opened for you will fit your faith.
That's such a tweet. I have to take a break. I have to take a break and tweet that myself.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right, live. This is another broadcast, take number 31, of the fourth month, third day, 2024, live broadcast. And remember, Passover is about a week away on the 13th, when the sun sets, Passover. And we see on the international side, it's packed, ready to go. But those that prepared to do a little reading, have not came into the room. So what we're going to do, we're going to put a tape from a previous broadcast and let that play for a little while. And then we'll come back live once, those that's going to get in where they fit in at, we'll come back live. We just put a tape on for right now. And we'll be back live shortly. That's what we're going to put a tape on right now. And then we'll come back live for take number 31. So that's why I beat y'all. Enjoy a previous broadcast that was once taught already. We'll put that on. And once they pack on the left side, then we'll come back and pick up where we got to pick off on. All right. Remember, the harvest is plenty. The labels are through. Get in where you're fitting in at. Big job ahead of us. So.
Blog Talk Radio.
Israel, the Israelites, keep that Passover. on the 13th day at evening. It's the 14th day. So, are you getting ready for Passover? Are you getting ready to do something that's pagan and wrong? Or doing the Easter thing, which is pagan and wrong? All right, so we don't think we bring the young lion in. We just gonna bounce it around on this day and see what we can get going on. Let's bring the young lion in, and we just bounce it around. So when you meet the young lion, one up and coming teachers out of camp one, Brother Titus Israel, Brother Titus Israel, Yahweh BCSD right.
Yahweh Bethlehem, Peter, Israel, of T-Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, young lion. Sound like you up to snuff and ready to do your part there, young lion, and that's a great thing. We'll take care of your part, and that's what it's all about. If we all do our part, everything's going to be all right if we do our part. That's all we got to do. Chapter 12, verse 2, if you can get something going on there, young line.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit to teach you at the same hour what you ought to say.
Mm-hmm. That's the will teach you, young line, what you ought to say. And let's take a look at the book of Corinthians there, young line. Let's look at the book of Corinthians and see if the righteous spirit teaches what we ought to say. Now, Paul was invited to the northern kingdom in the 11th chapter. And he said something to them, that young line. He said something to them in the 11th chapter. And let's find out what did Paul say to them in the 11th chapter of Corinthians. Let's see exactly what did Paul say to them in the 11th chapter. He went to this northern kingdom, and he said something to them in 1, 2, and 3. What did he say to them 1, 2, and 3? First Corinthians chapter 11, 1, 2, and 3. What did he say that young lion?
The book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Yahweh the Son. Verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you. Verse 3. But I will have you to know that the head of every man is Yahweh the Son. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father.
That's real nice. Well, that's all the things, huh? And skip down to verse 23. Let's read a little bit. See what he's saying in verse 23. Let's read a little bit. Down to verse 26.
Verse 23. Down to verse 26. Here reads. And I received of Yahweh that which also I delivered unto you. Yet Yahweh the Son, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this, is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had sup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so, Yahweh's death till he comes.
So he wants you to show his death till he comes. He said, every chance you get, you do just remember me, but you're showing his death till he comes. Now, how many times do a man die? Do a man die 4 times a week? Or do he die once? And on that day, it's a remembrance day. So, in 1 Corinthians 5, so, they don't create something called communion and everything after Yahuwah the Son's death. But you only died on that specific, that day that you died. Every time that day come up, that's the day you remember him. When that day come up, the day of his death, what day he died, we're going to find out. Let him tell you, that Paul tell you exactly what's going on in the 5th chapter, verse 1, down to verse 8. What it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 8, young man.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not, as is not so much as made among the Gentiles, God of Israelites, that one to have his father's wife. Verse 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather more than he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. Verse 3, for I truly, as absent in body, but present in spirit, and have judged already, and so I will present concerning him that has so done this deed. Verse 4, in the name of our Yahuwah, Yahuwah the Son, we are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Yahuwah, Yahuwah the Son. Verse 5, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahuwah, Yahuwah the Son. Verse 6, your glory, your honor is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaven the whole lump. Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Yahuwah the Son, our Passover, and sacrifice for us. Verse 8, therefore let us, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
So we find out that Yahuwah, the one that they ignorantly call Christ and Jesus, he's our Passover. So he's our Passover. He says that often that you do this, you show his death, so he lets you know he's the Passover. But when, how many times do the Passover come? The Passover is every week. Let's find out when is the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Y'all learn? When is the Passover? He said, like, show his death till he come. So how many times is the Passover that we can read? Let's find out how many times is the Passover in 12 verse 1 and 6. And then let's get down to verse number 14. 1, 6, and 14. I'd like to know how many times does the Passover come every week? Because he's the Passover lamb. The Passover come when? Exodus 12, verse 1, 6, and 14, and 24. 1, 6, 14, and 24. What's in that, young lion?
The second book of the law, the heavenly tablet, the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1, verse 6, verse 14 and 24. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And Yahuwah spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, Mizraim, saying, verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Amen. With the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, the Israelites shall kill it in the evening. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 24. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever.
Mm-hmm. So the Passover, this feast day of the Passover coming up, he told us to observe it forever. He said, now, you're going to do this Passover as long as you live, you're going to do this Passover. How are you going to do? And the biggest 2 and 3, one down to verse 6 says, what else? A young lion. Well, it says, if we can read in Leviticus 2 and 3, one down to verse number 6.
Go on to the book of Leviticus of the Heavenly Tabernacle, chapter 23, verse 1 down to verse 6. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake to Moses, saying, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, the Israelites, and said to them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which he shall proclaim to be righteous gathering, even these are my feet. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest, a righteous gathering. You should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh and all your dwelling. Verse 4. These are the feasts of Yahweh, even righteous gathering, which ye shall proclaim in their season. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, a beer at evening is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm. So as often as you do it, you're showing his death. And so he is the Passover lamb, so you show his death on Passover. Because he said in Matthew's 26, he got all his followers together, called disciples. He got them all together, that young man. He got everybody together. In 26th chapter, he got them all together and started talking with them a little bit. Let's see what he said to them in the 26th chapter. And let's see what he says, 1, 2, then we'll get down to verse number 17, and we'll read down to verse 29, 17 to 29. Let's learn something on the way of learning something. But what is this all about in 26, verse 1 and 2? Matthew 26, 1 and 2.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 1 and 2, 17 to 29. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yahweh the Son had finished all these things, he said to his disciples, his followers, verse 2. You know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
Yeah, hold that point. That's real good. So he's to be crucified. When again? Read that verse 2 again. When is he to be crucified again according to verse 2? Read that 2 again.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26. Verse 2, you know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
So he'll be crucified on Passover. So that's that Corinthians chapter 5 there, young lion. So that's that Corinthians chapter 5. And what was there again in verse number 8?
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Verse 7.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Yahweh the Son, our pastor, is sacrificed for us.
So he's our Passover. He's our Passover. He is sacrificed for us. Now come back and read again that, let's see another word for the sacrifice. What that word mean, according to 26 verse 2. What that mean? What that word mean? He's our Passover lamb, and he be sacrificed for us. So what's another word for sacrifice when we read Matthew 26 verse 2 here, young man?
Look at Matthew, chapter 26, verse 2. You know, after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
Oh. So being the Passover lamb, he's sacrificed for us. This man is to be crucified. He can be killed. So he's the Passover lamb. So when we read 1:29 and 36 of St. John, young man, I think we might be on something. So now, he says, as often as you do this, you show his death to his coming. His death is on Passover. So John recognized who this guy was, according to the scriptures, and 1:29 and verse 36. He recognized his Yahweh the Son, and what did he call him in St. John 1:29 and 36? What did he call him, that young man?
The book of John, beloved John, chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 36. John chapter 1, verse 21, verse 29. The next day, John said, Yahweh the Son, coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, which taken away the sin of the world. Verse 36. And looking upon Yahweh the Son, as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Lamb of Yahweh, take away the sin. He take away the sin. And he said, often as you do this, you show his death. And what we're looking at now, you supposed to do the Passover. This one, he show his death. Passover, not communion that you do every Sunday. It's Passover, not Easter, what you do on. They just give you a day. They just give you a day for Easter. Easter come on every Sunday. I don't know how they got it going on, but it never be on the first month of 14 days. They all over the place. No, when a man set it down. That day is his remorse day. The day you set it down, that the next time that year is your remorse day. Not no other day, but that ain't the day you set it down. I don't care if it's 100 trillion million years. So that day is the day you set it down. Now come on back, you got the understanding. Let's figure verse 18 now, young line. So now, he's going to tell you about a specific word he's going to use, and I want to bring out for the national audience, and then we're going to bring Mother E in, because Mother E going to be riding shotgun with you, young lion. Like I said then, she prepared to do one, she began to do one thing, get in what she fit in at, lead by example, but then things jump off. Look, I'm right there. I'm ready to harden that microphone, and that's a great thing, Mother E. Bring it in shortly. Pick up verse number 18 there, young lines, read a little bit. Let's see what he's talking about in 18 down to verse 29. Let's see what he's talking about. Come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 18, down to verse 29. Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. And he said, go in the city to such a man that said to him, the master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at my house with my disciples, my followers. Verse 19.
Hold on.
At your house.
At thy house. Hold on, young man. Let's see it get in there. At thy house. But what do you call himself? He said, tell him the master. Oh, that's a big word right there. So on that word right there, let's play mother in. On that word right there called master, that's a big word. Now, he said, you tell them the master said. See, that's big talk for them. That's called big preacher talking, the master said. See, the master. We gotta run that down. Let's bring mother in and meet and greet our mother out of camp one. But a loud voice said, hey, mother E, one of the mothers out of camp one. That's why I beat the sea right.
That's why I bless you, dear Israel, of sea, Lord. And maybe Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, mother. My mother, that was a powerful word that he just said, mother. I want young loud read that verse again and listen to the tone of this conversation. That was some stout words we just heard. Read that verse again, young man. That was a stout word we just heard. Verse 18. No, verse 19. Yeah, 18. What verse 18 says? Hold on, young man. Take a deep breath. Paul, we didn't know her. That's good time. Pause for a minute. Take the time and deliver the knock out, bro. Verse 18.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 18. And he said, go unto the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
I will kick the...
Go ahead, y'all. All right.
My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Follow.
Now go and read that verse again without stumbling and bumbling around, then, young man. Go and read, take a deep breath. Stop turning time. I'm not trying to get in a bunch of scriptures. I'm trying to do a little edifying for the national audience. Read that verse 18 again. Take the time and bring it out.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say to him, the master said. My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.
Okay. Now, my mother. Mother, you don't find out who did this. That was a powerful word he used by master said. That's a big powerful word he said, master said. Now, I need to find out who just was just talking. But I'm struggling right now, mother, on this master said. Now, when you throw him in trouble like that, I mean, you won't pay attention. He told his disciples, follow. You go tell them the master said. Now, that's been talking that month, so we got to investigate that master. So we got to investigate, who's this master talking like that? Who's this right here? The master said. Let's see what we can read, mother, in 23rd chapter, verse 8 and verse 10. And Matthew 23, verse 8 and verse 10. Let's talk about this master. This master said, who's this master, mother, 23, verse 8 and 10?
Matthew chapter 23 and verse 10. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. But be not ye called, Rabbi, for one is your master, even Yahweh the Son, and all you are brethren. Verse 10. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Yahweh the Father.
I'm the master around here. So yo, I don't hear about how about no masters around here unless they're addressing me. So that's big topic there, mother. So all the masters is Yahweh the Son. Everybody declared that word. So we just found out, he said, look here. All the master around here is me, Yahweh the Son. That's big talk with them, mother. So now you're online. With all that great big talking about the master said, so that master is Yahweh the Son doing this tall talking. And what did Yahweh the Son say to the master? What did the master say in verse 19 and 20?
Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 19 and verse 20. And the disciples, the followers, did as Yahweh the Son had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Verse 20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the twain.
Okay, what that mean when the evening has come, mother, in Deuteronomy 16? What that supposed to mean, mother, when the evening has come? So you can't do the Passover. When you get ready, he waited till the evening have come. So, Mother E, what time is the evening that we can read in the 16th chapter? You want to read about when is the evening have come? Let's read verse number 6, 16, verse 6. And find out. Yeah, Deuteronomy 16, 6. Let's find out what's going on. Let's see if we draw, paint the picture about when the evening have come. What that means in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. What that means when the evening have come?
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. But at the place which the Yahweh, your Yahweh, the two, to place his name, and there does shall sacrifice the Passover at evening. The going down of the sun at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt.
So, mother, you can't do the Passover. Tell them, let them know they can't do the Passover when they get ready. They got to do it on the 14th day at evening after going down the sun. So he waited, mother, to make sure that he understood that Matthew 5:17, mother. Hey, mother, he understood 5:17 of the book called Matthew. He understood that verse. And what do you say in 5:17 to Matthew?
Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the real. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
You see that, mother? So he ain't come to change nothing. Everything was sick to do that same day at evening when the sun did set. He ain't come to change nothing. Otherwise, he knew what he had received from his father, and they done it according to the book. You don't do this thing when you get ready. You do it the way Yahweh tell you to do it to get his blessing. So there's that there, mother. The Passover was supposed to be on the 14th day at evening when the sun set. So when the sun set, that's the hour he's talking about. If you can't be doing the way we want to do it, we got to do it the way he got written in his book. Then we'll see the blessing that's coming. So when the 13th come in, and when it gets dark, that's the 14th. So that's when the evening have come. That's the hour of the Passover. You can't have a Passover at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon because you won't see everybody around and be out there in the yard. No, you ain't doing no Passover. You're doing your own thing. You do the Passover, do it the way the man tell you to do it. Do it the way the man tell you to do it, then you're all right. The way the man tell you to do it, you're all right. That's the bottom line. So now, we got that together, mother. So now we got that part. Let's come back here online. So now we clear. I tell you what, mother, give me one more hit. Give me one more hit in Mark 132. Let me get a precept, mother Eve. Mark 132.
Book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 32. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed. That's what it said.
At evening, when the sun set, that's what we're looking for. So we know Yahweh waited for evening, when the sun set, and that's when they kicked off the Passover. So now the Passover has been kicked off. The master said, you sit down with his 12. And what happened in verse 21 there, young line? Matthew 26:21, that's real a little bit. So now we know the evening have came. The time to eat the Passover. Eat the Passover lamb. Let's see what's going on now that we can pick out of this in verse 21. Let's read a little bit there, young line. Come on.
Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, truly, I say to you, that one of you should betray me. Verse 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Yahweh, is it I? Verse 23. And he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the ditch, the same should betray me. 24. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
Hold that point, young man. Hold that point. That's a big verse today, young man. He says, in 24, the Son of Man going as it is written. Oh, well, what is it written at about this? He said, the Son of Man going as it is written. That's a big verse of death. So what is it written at that this supposed to happen to him? That's a big verse. So what can we read that it is written? Put them out of that young man. Let's see if we find out where is it written that he going as it is written. Where is it written at? See, when a person throw out a statement like that, it's written. Then you both say, well, where is it written at? Where is it written at? In Isaiah 53, in your line, you go on to Isaiah 53 and see where it's written at that he's supposed to take some of his good death. You know, it says written. So when somebody says it's written, somebody might say, well, where is that at? Written. You mean he was already prophesied? Let's see where it's written at. Let's pick it up at Isaiah 53 there, young line. And let's think around about verse number 5. 53, verse 5. Let's see what's going on that we can read. It says, written about him crucified and dying and getting slapped all around. It says written, Because he said he knew his time. It's time for him to get that D down on him. Let's see what he said in 53 verse 5 is real big, young lion. Come on. Of Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah is here, chapter 53, verse 5. And it reads, "For he was wounded for our sin. He was bruised for our iniquity, sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." Verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him." And Yahweh the Father has laid on him. Yahweh the Son. "The iniquity, sin of us all." Verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Verse 8. "He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who should declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the sin of my people was he stricken." Verse 9. "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." Verse 10. "And yet it pleased Yahweh the Father to bruise him," Yahweh the Son. "He had put him to grief when you should make his soul an offer for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. The pleasure of Yahweh the Father to prosper in his hand." Verse 11. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify me, for he shall bear their sin."
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
All right, we live, another broadcast, take number 31, on Wednesday, May, what month is it? March, April 3rd, 2024, fourth month, third day, 2024. And the live broadcast, so our elder came on, they'll bring you on and tell you all about the broadcast, and we see if we get something going on. on take number 31, and remember that feast day is only about a week or so to come, called the Passover. Not chameleon and not, another word for that word, chameleon. They got something else for that, but they do it every Sunday. No, I'll be more of a person that's same time every year, same time, same date. That's another lesson. So what we do, we'll bring our elder in. We'll remember this live broadcast, take number 31, April the 4th, 2024, live broadcast. So we're going to bring our elder in and tell about the broadcast. And what we do, we'll bounce a few verses around. Remember, the harvest is plenty, but the labels is few. Got a lot of work to be done. And getting this word out, that's why get in where you fit in at. You're supposed to be everywhere. Blog Talk, Pal Talk. Should be on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. It should be everywhere. Why? Because this message needs to get out. Because our loved one needs to hear this to have the option to do right or continue down the road they're on. They have the option. Because sooner or later, you know, Yahweh bring the message to you. It's up to you to make adjustment once you hear the truth of the matter. Unless Yahweh blocks you from hearing the truth. Although you're hearing the truth, but you can't really receive it. That show you Yahweh put a block on you. That's how it will operate. So once you put the truth on the table in writing with precepts, and then you have a problem with it, that's on you. You have done our part. Temple of learning. So you need our elder with a loud voice. You say, Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, take number 31, Wednesday night, fourth month, third day, 2024,
Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel. Yahweh be to that seed royal. And Yahweh bless you, seed Israel, the seed royal. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Elder, all I know, the foxtail have been lit and the curtain hair went up and the harvest is plenty, but the labors is through. And like I said again, myself and I know you're going to give it all we got because time is not in our favor. We're going to give it all we got because Yahweh, he know when you came, when you're coming in this world. You know when you're leaving out. So you put that charge on certain people to do certain things. They're going to do it all they might. So, Elder, you're on the clock. Give it all you got on tape 31. Take your time, Elder. Magnify this. Some good old herbal tea while you're taking your time, Elder. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Among a cast of over 100,000 listeners. And that's always a good thing because this means we're able to get that word out to a lot more people. And if we touch one out of all the thousands of people that's listening, we've done our job because we got the word out there. And Yahweh will say, that's a good thing. We might get that Matthew 25:21. Well done, a long faithful servant. Well, as we know, we have covered a few topics over a few days, and we had been discussing burials, coffins, caskets, of the like. In the last broadcast, I covered burials and caskets. But now there's another situation that we were discussing, open caskets. What was the tradition behind that stuff? When did it start? Where did it come from? Who wanted to start viewing the dead bodies? Well, there's a history of open casket funerals that we're going to give a little bit of a touch on. The tradition of open casket funerals began when the first Europeans to settle in North America brought with them the tradition of laying the body out inside the home before it was buried. And it was during this time that the neighbors could visit the home of the beloved ones and take a final look at the deceased. That's really something. This act of viewing the dead soon became part of what modern funeral homes call the wake. Because there was no modern funeral homes during that time, boxes or cabinets, furniture makers, were commissioned to undertake the task of building caskets for the deceased, which will require them to go into the home and take measurements for the body, building the caskets in their shops. You may have viewed some of this on television, watching some of the old westerns where the undertaker with his tall black hat went out and measured the body that was shot by one of the gunslingers, and he would go back and start building the casket so they could, you know, have their funeral. Eventually, as the modern funeral home began to take form after the Civil War, funeral homes continued to use the tradition of the wake, which was once a three-day and night vigil to ensure the deceased was in as dead as the loved one watched over the body. They wanted to make sure he didn't move around or anything, so they wanted to make sure he was dead before the loved ones viewed that body. So we see that this was a tradition that started over years ago, and that tradition came from another country, and like usual, the U.S. picks up the tradition from the Europeans or Rome. But open casket funerals have occurred for hundreds of years. In the 19th and the early 20th centuries, people would have a loved one's casket displayed at their home for multiple days before a burial. Now, open casket viewings, this is another situation, began to occur at funeral homes, where they took popularity in the funerals. Now, a good example of that, when President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, he was embalmed. I don't know how many people knew that, but he was embalmed, and his remains travels around the country to be viewed by the American people. He was one of the first presidents to have a public open casket funeral. Embalming became a prominent thing during the Civil War as a way to preserve the remains of the young man who died in combat with embalming techniques. Their remains were able to be returned to their families. Since the Civil War, open casket funerals have become a common service in America. Open casket funerals were especially popular among Christians and the Catholic faiths. Certain religions' faiths have explained their views on these services. In turn, cremation has become another more prominent option in the 21st century. Some individuals opt for an open casket funeral and using cremation afterwards. But after stating this, if you would do your homework, you will find out that all of this, what was mentioned today, is true and may surprise you, because the only time you see anything of that nature is in the old Western movies or something like that. Also, I forgot to mention that some of the war veterans' remains were marked unviewable. So during that time, there was no open casket funeral available, because you can imagine you wouldn't want to see somebody that was all distorted. So that required not having an open casket funeral. But following these different faiths, you learn to stick with the Bible, because the Bible says, accept no other book before thee, because none shall match your mate. In doing this, that brings you to a verse in 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. And 7 says, the entrance therefore is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left deep water. 8, and only one path between them both, even between the fire and the water so small, there could only be one man go there at once. And that's into the kingdom. Remember, all these things that we're told and we're educated on it brings you back to a point that says a teacher can't learn from his students because they're all over the place. The teacher's the one giving the wise counsel, and having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. Although a student can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves. And this shows well in all the six camps that teach. We have to be aware by knowing the Bible scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know there are many out there that camouflage their evil and confused teaching and using overly loud bump the gums contests for their method of righteous learning. You have to remember, the best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come so we can teach them which way to go, so they don't have to be guilty of falling in that deep water or the fire. And then at the end of all that, what is Joshua going to do? He's going to reach out and wake them up again and read them the Bill of Rights, and this time they're going into the lake of fire. So we're trying to lead you in the right direction. This is why I always say that the non-righteous job is to lead you straight. But we try to keep everybody on track, those that will listen. We welcome and thank you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's Word, learning how to connect the books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. And it's the information you all came to seek and have now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Our class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Also, we have a website address. To use this on any search engine, on any one of your smart devices, on the search line, enter tribeyada.com. Once you do this, so you get to the right place, look for tribeyada.com Israelites. After doing this, it will take you to a big lion where you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. To use this, step number one, click donate with PayPal. Step number two is click send. Any of the amount that you wish to send with the message which is provided there if you like. And if that's done, may Yahuwah bless you. Doing this, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures, which are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health groups we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, on the same website, check out our calendar, which is there to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We even have a live program. Now, this feature is available during our broadcast time. To get there, this time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. On your cell phone or computer or any one of your smart devices, look for Voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yahdah, and click the red live button. As soon as it appears, you'll be right into our live online broadcast. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with the offline line. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 or 9 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, only a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. By calling the same number, you can also inquire about the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or after. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos that most of us have seen, and even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you will only hear a discouraging delta. And if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can catch the entire recorded show after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, once again, enter the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. When you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, during our normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're continuing transmitting our story of Yahuwah on Pal Talk simultaneously, which can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, computer, even nowadays your smartwatch. Just make sure you've got the Pal Talk app. You will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Our room will hold 50 or more listening participants. The Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. And online there to answer the on-the-table topics we had during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than 2 text questions answered at a time. And the broadcast ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But as you know, I always give that continuing reminder, which is when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smooth, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. So we have to be careful not to make worldly statements that can't be backed up by the Bible, but be sure to make those statements that can be backed up in the Bible. So we will end our little statement with Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7, which says, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. And our time for speaking for the word of Yahuwah begins now.
Hallelujah. That's right. I was taking notes on you, Elder. And that was very important that you put on the table. And so you said on record, the first did you give a timeline on that open casket funeral? Who is the author of it again? Who's the author of the open casket funeral that was done first in the United States or Europe or whatever? So who was the author of the origin of the open casket funerals? Come on.
That was at the beginning of the statement. It was a tradition that came when the first Europeans came to settle in North America. they brought with them that tradition of laying the body outside the home before it was buried. And after that time, it became a tradition of viewing, which the funeral homes started to call a wake.
Okay. So the author of the open casket funeral, you can trace it back to, you made a statement saying the European. So
the European,
know,
that's correct.
But we know that that word can be bounced back so many different ways as European, because the first European is replacing from Japhetic, became Europeans, and the first Europeans that was on record was those of color. Then after that, it became Esau, have taken that name called Europeans, but the older or ancient Europeans, that's from Europe, from Japhetic lands, and peoples of color called Japhetic peoples, the sons of Japheth. So that's who that word is kind of to be, can be taken more ways than one. Like Esau have taken credit for that word now because of his domination. But well, that's another time we'll get on that. Because like I said, again, you in a temple of learning, and what we try to do is bring out information to let you know that the only way the Almighty Yahweh going to intervene in our situation, we're going to have to line up with this book. And Paul made a statement, in the let's get some Luke 12:12 on there, Elder. We're going to kind of bounce around. We'll take our time to bounce around a few verses. Then by the time daughter might be on, came on the broadcast, mothers, and then we'll sketch out even harder. But in the book of Luke 12:12 there, Elder, because I got some memos in, because this memo is, they says, like they says, Cornelius in the 10th chapter, he was European. So I don't quite understand what that means by Cornelius in the 10th chapter was European. What you saying, is he European white or European black? So I don't know. See, that's a tricky word. Cornelius in the 10th chapter was European. Okay, good. We might investigate that a little bit too to see what European are you talking about. Is he talking about European black or European white? What European you talking about? Cornelius in the 10th chapter. And you sure? We'll find out. Never know. Let's see what we can get in the book called Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we can get something going on, Elder.
In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say."
Well, the big dignitary is saying, well, Cornelius was the first European to be converted to the Israelites' way. So that's a trap statement right there, because it puts the finger, but it don't put the finger, but it do put the finger tonight. So you telling me if Cornelius was the first European white to be converted into the Israelites away. So what are you saying? You see, you are conceding that the Israelites is of color and they're not the ones over in the land of Israel. So I think that's a chop taken too. So all this we're gonna take a look at and see can we unmask this thing. Like the elder said, he said that you can learn. That's if you're willing to follow the steps, you can really learn from us. Because we come to teach, not to be taught. So not that we can't be taught, but you have to make sure you got your line up in this book. You got to make it plain about when you're using that statement, Cornelius is the first white to be converted into the Israelites' way. But see, the teaching, especially in the Catholic Church, that everybody white from the get-go. So, you know, did you do Luke 12:12 already, Elder?
I did Luke 12:12, but sometimes we get so into it, we forget. They forgot the Stone Age in Europe. They used to call them Europeans also, and back in the Ice Age.
No,
they forgot.
Yeah, but see, that's why we have to bring so much to their remembrance. But John was on the Isle of Patmos in prison there, Elder. And John said something in 12 verse 9 of Revelation. I mean, the angel told John to put this in writing for these days right here. And what did he have in 12 verse 9 for us to consider thinking about? Revelation 12 verse 9.
Okay. In the book of Revelation, looking at chapter 12, reading verse number 9, says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his minister spirits were cast out with him."
Mm-hmm. He deceived the whole earth. Now, Elder, I know you kind of quick sometime on getting information in. Now, it was a letter that was written by a letter from King Leopold II of Belgium. King Leopold, L-E-O-P-O-I-L II of Belgium. To the colony missionaries in 1883. King of Belgium, King Leopold II, he sent the Christian, the Catholic Christian missionary to the place called Africa, but to evangelize them. But he gave them specific things that they need to do to evangelize the peoples over there. And he got in the letter. It's a letter, the letter from King Leopold II of Belgium to colonies of the missionaries. So he sent the missionaries over there from the Catholic Church to Africa. But in this letter, Elder, see, we don't rehearse nothing, and we didn't get a chance to, you know, we didn't go back over with you at all, but if you can pull this letter up and read a little something off this letter, or we can pick up another day on the letter from King Leopold II of Belgium. That's why Yahweh says that you want to pay the price for the iniquity of your fathers. Like you said, we wasn't back there neither. But we paying the price of what they went through. We paying the price today. And just as you is reaping the benefit of it today, you got to pay the price of turning a deaf ear to some things. See? So, Elder, did you come up with anything on that letter that King Leopold of Belgium wrote in 1883? Or we'll table it to another time?
Yeah, it's an older letter, Brother Sia. And actually, I have to get a larger view of it. It's of King Leopold II of Belgium. So I'll get a larger image where I can correctly read it. Well, we don't have to be corrected by the public later. So I get a larger image, I'll say Hallelujah when I get it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I got it.
You got it?
Okay. Yeah, just a few
I just want to, the letter that King Leopold sent to the Christian missionaries, I just want to hear some of that letter. And if anybody that can go on their computer, they can pull up the Belgian letter of Leopold the Second of Belgium to the missionaries of 1883. You got anything on that, Elder? Can we hear a little bit of that, Elder?
Yeah, I'll read a little bit of it, but you'd have to pull the letter up in sections of those that's interesting.
Okay.
And I have it here. It's a letter from King Leopold II of Belgium to the colonial missionaries of 1883.
Uh-huh.
Reverend fathers and dear companions, the task that is given to you to fulfill is very delicate and requires much tact. You will go certainly to evangelize, but your evangelization must inspire above all Belgian interests. Principal objective and our mission is to take in the Congo is never to teach the niggers to know Yahweh. This they know already. They speak and submit to a Mongol, Nambazi, and the Novakia. And this, what else I don't know. They will know that to kill, to sleep with someone else's wife, to lie and to insult is bad. Have courage to admit it. You're not going to teach them what they already know. Your essential role is to facilitate the task of administrators and industry, which means you will go and interpret the gospel in a way that it will best to protect your interests in that part of the world. For these things, you have to keep watch on discriminating our savages.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good enough, Jay. So you see what he told him? He said, now, what I want you to do, I want you to get over there with them niggas that you help them to read the Bible, but let them know they don't need to understand it, just read it, and let y'all interpret the Bible for them. So teach them how to read, but don't let them know they don't have to understand, just let us interpret the Bible for you. And then we'd be able to tell them about, don't worry, love your masters, and you got your in common. Now, this letter right here is like a five-part letter. Really, it's not like a five-part letter. We ain't going to touch on it no more. Probably a little bit here and a little bit there. But we just paraphrased something Leopold had the Roman Catholic missionaries to do, to go over there and to win their confidence and turn the children against their fathers and mothers by showing them about, white man Jesus, white man Jehovah, and obey us more than your mother and father. It's all in this letter right here. It's all about manipulating the mind to let them know that they got theirs coming, and you ain't got to never understand the Bible. Just remember what the missionaries have said, and then y'all interpret the way it best fits us. So those on the international side over 900,000 strong, just pull a letter up yourself and read and show you how they are manipulated to even today. How did I say never see the whole world? And Leopold done a great job with the missionaries. But here's the point. The missionaries, they follow his lead. So when they came over to evangelize, they had King Leopold letters. They just said, no, we got to teach our Lord God Jesus. No, they went along with it. That's the point I'm making. And see, that's what's going on today. A lot of people know a lot of things, but they go along with wrong because they go along with it. And remember, the Bible has been interpreted by them. Your Bible have been interpreted to you by them. They tell you in his letter. You ain't really got to understand it. Just let us tell you what it's saying. And it tells you a lot of things in his letter that you wouldn't believe. And then he also tell you about the one that's kind of stout-minded. He tell you convert also the blacks by using the whip, too. Telling the missionaries, you use the whip and get them and straighten them up. So it's a lot of, this is right here, this letter right here have more information than the Willie Lynch letter do. This right here. This got, so those on the network, look up the letter and read it for yourself. And you'll see why they make so many mistakes. Just like reading the book called where it tell you in 10:1. Matter of fact, let's read that. Let's read that, Elder. Let's go and show you what they do. This is what they do. They go to 10:1, and this is what they'll do. And this is what will get the best of them, unless you all got a ear to hear. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, verse 1, let's see what they're saying in 10:1, 1 and 2.
In the book of, okay, 1 and
uh-huh.
2.
Uh-huh.
In the book of Acts, chapter 10, reading verses 1 and verse number 2. 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. 2, a devout man and one that feared Yahweh with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Yahweh away.
Always. So, now, there's a certain man called Cornelius, a man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called Italian Band. See, now, right there, when they interpret this to you, see, this called interpreted to you right here, he's of the Italian Band. So then they'll tell you, well, you know how Italian look, so that makes Cornelius or Italian. But no, they say he's of the Italian Band. And a centurion means he's a leader over 100 soldiers. That's what it means. He's a leader over 100 soldiers. But he was over the Italian Band. Wasn't Colin Powell, wasn't he a big general? When he was a big general over a whole lot of sergeants, captains, and everything. Colin Powell was a big general too. But did that make him Italian? Because he was So when you see this word called he was of the Italian Band, that just was the region, but he was not an Italian. See? But this is where they'll get you at by saying he's of the Italian Band. Good. But what you fail to realize that by being letting the world interpret this to you, look what the angel told him to do in verse 6. The angel told him something to do. What did he tell him to do in verse 6? Cornelius of the Italian Band, what was told him to do? Told him to do what in verse number 6?
Same book in chapter 10, verse number 6.
Yeah.
6 says, he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou art to do.
So now Peter was to tell him, Cornelius, what he ought to do. And we found out Cornelius was a devout man, one who feared Yahweh in verse 2, and all his family, and was gave much alms, gave much money to the peoples, and prayed to Yahweh always. So, you know, so they'll take that verse right there, and that'll let you know Cornelius was a pen white. This is the first white man that came into the church of the Israelites. So that's really a double-edged sword. That chain of Israelites must have been another color if you do that. But proceed, the Bible goes by nationalities. This Bible right here got a lot of information in here if you know how to get to it. So we could examine something and seeking Cornelius hold up as being a European white. Once you investigate, you know, like detective agency. Okay, let us do the research now and see if that stands up. Okay, good. Let's do the research on it now. On this radar, see what it hold up. See, Cornelius is a European white. We're going to see if will it hold up just by doing a little research. And like I said, yeah, we ain't rehearsed nothing. We just going by the flow. You know, we got plenty of time. But we're going to see if that hold up. Now, Cornelius. Now, what was said and 10:14. I'm just gonna pick out some things, but we're gonna tie it all in. But what it says in 10:14, Acts 10:14, Elder.
Book of Acts chapter 10, verse 14 says, "But Peter said, not so, Yahweh, for I have never eaten anything that is common nor unclean."
Okay. So Peter said, "I'd eat," and see, they'll take this and they'll use that verse as unclean meats and stuff like that. But we're going to read the next verse. What the next verse say?
Verse 15. "And the voice spake unto him again, the second time, what Yahweh had cleansed, that they call not thou common."
So what have he cleaned? He just told Cornelius to go and seek one Simon, a tanner. He going to tell you what you ought to do. So evidently, Cornelius wanted to get in. Cornelius was basically, it's what he's talking about. He's talking about man. It was time to bring in Cornelius and his family. But this Cornelius was of the Italian band. But now, we want to take a little glance at something. Cornelius of the Italian band. What did the Almighty say in St. John, what make it Matthew's 10:5? I'm going to go around. I'm going to take my time, Elder. I'm just going to run around to the backyard and take my time on some things. And I'm going to see, can I just walk this down, make a little meal out of it. Look what it says in 10 verse 5. In Matthew 10 verse 5. What do it say in 10 verse 5?
Book of Matthew, chapter 10, reading verse number 5. It says, "These 12 Yahuwah the Son sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, neither
yeah.
ye not. Enter ye not.
Six.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the family of Israel.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. So it's saying, but don't go to the Gentiles and unto any city of the Samaritans. Now, who's he calling Gentiles here? Well, see, this word here is a buzzword. So who's he calling Gentiles here? He's saying, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, good. He said now in verse 5, these 12 Yahuwah the Son sent forward and commanded them, saying, go not to any way of the Gentiles and enter into any city of the Samaritans, enter you not. So who is it calling Gentiles? See, that's why when you know how to precept your Bible, you find out who he calling Gentiles. Because remember, Leopold told the Catholic to learn how to read, but interpret for them what, but they ain't got the reason. But you don't have to reason. Don't show them how to reason. Just tell them how to just read. You know, you can teach a parakeet to read, but he don't know what he read and read. So you can have a parakeet can read. You know, a parakeet is very smart. He might he might say, hey buddy, hey, and want his head scratched. See, you can train somebody, but you can be deceiving at the same time. So this, when those on the international side read this letter, he gave the mission, the Catholic missionaries, specific order to interpret the Bible for them, explain to them, for they won't be rebellious, that we are superior over you and everything else. And grain this into the young ones where they rebel against their parents when their parents said, no, that ain't right. Put so much in them and skin and grin with them to have your own kids rebel against your forefathers and mothers. It's all in this letter right here. So it's very interesting to read the whole five parts. In another time. But we will show you how they manipulate things, and that's why today we see things totally different because our reasons have been taken away. Just like Cornelius in the 10th chapter. Our reasons have been taken away. We don't reason. He said now, go not to the way of the Gentiles or any city of the Samaritans. But now we go and find out what Gentiles is he talking about precepting your Bible. Now go to the fourth chapter of Matthew's. We're going to show you what Gentiles he's talking about. We're going to show you right now. In the fourth chapter of Matthew, go not to the way of the Gentiles. What Gentiles he talking about? Matthew's 4, and we're going to pick it up at verse 15. 4:15 and 16. Matthew
and
4,
15 and 16.
Listen to this. Verse 15 and 16.
Matthew 4, reading 15 and 16. 15 says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Naphtali. By the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
Stop it there for a minute.
16.
Hold that point right there. So, in verse 15, Yahuwah the Son is going to the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So, this is, look what we call them Gentiles. Naphtali and Zebulun.
You go to Exodus chapter 1, you can read Jesus is Israelites. So Jesus is Israelites, he called them Gentiles. Why is he calling Gentiles? He can tell you why they called Gentiles in verse 16. Here, this is the reason why they called Gentiles here in verse 16. Watch this.
Verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is from them.
You see that? So because they were sitting in the region of a shadow of death, that means they had no teaching. So when you don't have no Yahweh with you, that with just terminology of the word Gentile, that can be applied to anybody. But the case that he's talking about is applying to Naphtali and Zebulun, those of the northern kingdom, because the northern kingdom had them broke away from Yahweh. When they broke away from Yahweh in 1 Kings chapter 11 and 12, they became Gentiles. But the Gentiles he's talking about is Zebulun and Naphtali. And what were they doing? We're going to find out what they're doing. In 2 Chronicles chapter 11, Elder, what made them a Gentile? What made the northern kingdom a Gentile? We're going to find out by going to 2 Chronicles 11, and we're going to pick it up verse 13. Let's see what made northern kingdom a Gentile. Naphtali, Zebulun, what made them a Gentile? 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 13. Let's find out in 14. Let's find out what made them a Gentile. Let's say
2 Chronicles chapter 11, reading 13 and 14. 13 says, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. 14. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Yadda-Judah of Jerusalem for Jeroboam and his sons that had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Aqua.
All right. So Jeroboam had them cast off the Levites from executing the Levites' job was to be in all 12 tribes ministering the word of Yahweh. But Jeroboam, the head of the northern kingdom, was Zebulun, them all was at Naphtali. They told him, get away from here. You're going back to Judah. So now watch the next verse, what they start doing after they told the Levites, you going back to Judah, get away from here. What they start doing that made them a Gentile. Next verse, Elder.
Verse number 15 says, and he ordained him priests for the high places and for the doubles and for the calves which he had made.
So he ordained him priests of the devil. See, Jeroboam cast away the Levites, and Jeroboam of the northern kingdom, they start worshiping the devil. Better than them. So that's how he became Gentiles, because they start worshiping the devil. Is that what we're reading there? Elder, read that verse again, Elder. Jeroboam, the head of the northern kingdom, they are broke away from the southern kingdom. The priesthood were Levites. They told the priesthood, you go back to Judah. I'm gonna do this thing myself. He ordained his own priesthood. And they start worshiping the devil. Is that what the Bible just said? Read it again.
Verse number 15. It says, and he ordained him priests for the high places and for the doubles and for the calves which he had made.
So he said, so Jeroboam, that was the head of the northern kingdom. He started worshiping the devil. So from that point on, they had no more teaching ministry at this point. They're worse than the devils. So now listen to this right here, what the seer said pertaining to that. Because they start worshiping the devils, northern kingdom. So that would make them the Gentiles. But now, let's take another one. I won't jump there yet. I want to go back to the second word in the 10th chapter. They said, go to no city of the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans was the northern kingdom. Now let's go back and refresh their mind, Elder, about this word called the Samaritans. Come back to Matthew's 10, verse 5. 10, verse 5, let's see again this reading about this word called Samaritans. Matthew's 10, 5.
Okay, in the book of Matthew, looking at chapter 10, verse number 5, says, these 12, Yahuwah's son, sent forth, and commanded them, saying, go not into the ways of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritan, enter ye not.
Mm-hmm. So he told them, don't go to no Gentile, don't go to no
Samaritan.
No city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. Right. Now, what makes you a Gentile is when you don't have the truth. But when you don't have the truth, you worship Satan the devil. That means you're letting somebody else interpret something to you. Now, this Samaritans and this Gentile is entertained right here, but watch who these Samaritans is by precepting your Bible going to St. John chapter 4. Now, listen what's going on here. And when we get back to Cornelius, it's going to make you think a little bit. So now, in St. John chapter 4 there, Elder, St. John chapter 4, let's see what was said here. Now, Yahuwah the Son was going to a place over there in Samaria. And this is what he said. Let's read a bit in St. John 4, verse 3. Let's read a little bit of this conversation right here. 4, verse 3.
Book of St. John, chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Starting at verse number three.
Uh-huh.
He says, then he left Judea and departed again into Galilee.
Uh-huh. So he left Judah and departed off into Galilee. What did he say in verse 4?
4 says, and he must needs to go through Samaria.
So Yahuwah the Son said, I need to go through Samaria. Remember we read about don't y'all go, but he got to go, we got to take the lead. And what happened in verse number 5?
Number 5 says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Israel gave to his son, and Joseph, his son Joseph.
Good, good, good. So now, so he made it to Samaria, and it was a parcel of ground where Israel gave him to his son. So now, so he was weary. He was sitting down about the 6th hour. He was sitting there. Now, what did it say in verse 7? While he was sitting there, I already orchestrated something. What happened in verse 7?
Verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yahuwah the Son saith unto her, give me to drink.
Okay, good. Right there. I won't take one verse at a time, because I'm just gonna throw this around a little bit. So he said, give me a drink. And there's a woman of Samaria. Remember, we read go not to the way of the Gentiles or the Samaritans, so the Samaritans were Gentiles. Remember Naphtali and them in Exodus chapter 1, they was all Israelites, but they was not worshiping Yahweh. So now, watch what this woman says in verse number 9. He said, hey, woman of Samaria, give me a drink of that water. Let's see what happened in verse 9. Listen to this in verse 9. And this word Jew means Judah. Listen to this right here. Verse number 9.
Verse number 9 says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink
Judah.
Of me? Which,
yeah, Judah.
Yeah, Jew. Yeah,
being
Judah.
Judah. Yeah, yeah, being Judah. See, so a woman of Samaria, that let you know, she knew who you were. You were of Judah. And she was a Gentile of Samaria. She was from the Gentiles of Samaria. She said, being the woman of Samaria, unto him, Samaria unto him, said unto him, how is that thou, being Judah, ask me, which is a woman of Samaria, for what? Now listen good. See this is what Cornelius was up under. Cornelius was up under the Gentiles that was in the Italian band, just like Colin Powell was the general in the American band, but that he still was, you know, from the islands. He was an Israelite from one of the islands. So now, he just had a chose to be in a high position in the Italian band. That's all. Look what the woman says about Judah. What about Judah? Same verse, verse 9. What about Judah? What about Judah?
Being a Yada Judah, ask his drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria. For the God thy Judah have no dealings with the Samaria.
You see that? So you see why? We just read why. In Second Chronicles, because the northern kings start worshiping the devil. They had no dealings with them because they done broke away from the covenant. They send the Levites back home to Judah. So the Samaritans was of the northern kingdom. And the woman, now to prove that point, to bring it on home, look what this woman say. Watch what this woman say here now. So that's what I said. Remember, we've been letting other nations interpret the Bible for us, and they all put themselves in places where they don't supposed to be. They tell you in that letter from the letter from King Leopold II of Belgium to the colonies of the missionaries in 1883. He told them exactly what to do. Don't let them read, but tell them you ain't got to understand that this, we'll break it down for you. That's what he said. And that was going on today. And that's why we stuck in the Acts chapter 10 by picking Cornelius is an Italian. He's of the Italian band. That way he was. He was an Italian band because there's nowhere in the Bible that the descendants of Esau worship Yahweh. They never worship Yahweh. So you cannot be drafted in because you never was drafted out to be drafted in. The sons of Esau in his body. That's why you got no nationality. They never deal with joining in with Israel. Never. And the one that had been set up. Now, let me get you there real quick. So now, why did this woman say to him when that conversation was going on? Look what she says in verse number 11. Listen to this in verse 11, Elder. What she said in verse 11?
Of St. John?
Yeah, because see, first of all, the woman was so carnal. She was so carnal with our conversation. Yahuwah said to her in verse 10, if thou knowest the gift of Yahuwah, and who is that said to thee, give me a drink, then thou would have asked me, and thou would have asked him, and he would give thee living water. See, that woman was so carnal, the woman of Samaritan, she was so carnal. Look what she said in verse 11.
St. John chapter 4, reading verse 11, says, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From hence, when hast thou that living water?
You see that? So she was so worldly, she thought he was talking about the water in that well, and he was trying to give no spiritual understanding. But now, listen what she says to him, this Samaritan Gentile woman says to him in verse 12. That's why I say we've been letting other people interpret the Bible to us. They tell us in the letter of Leopold, they ain't got the reason. Just explain to them what that means and take it again and there. We can go on that conversation. That's why those that got ear to hear, read the letter for yourself and see how you've been manipulated today to think one way, because the Bible is talking another way, but you've been programmed so heavy. And listen to what they're saying and not reason on what the Bible is actually saying. Now look at the woman said, look at the woman says to him in verse 12, but we're going to break down what she said in verse 12. What she said in verse 12.
12 says, art thou greater than our father Israel, which gave us the well, and drank therefore himself and his children and his cattle?
Ain't that something? That's the part they don't leave out. You hear the woman say, now the woman is a Gentile of Samaria. He said, go not to the way of the Samaritan. No, go not to the way the Gentiles or any city of Samaritan. Did you hear the woman just say it? Verse 12. Are thou greater than our father? So she admitted that she's a northern kingdom, Samaritan, Gentile, but she knew that she was a bloodline Israelite. Israel. Are thou greater than our father, Jacob? So she knew she was an Israelite. They just worshiped the devil. But she knew that she was from the northern kingdom. Are thou greater than our father? Are thou greater? You, Yahuwah the Son, are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the well to drink thereof, himself and his children of the cattle? Did you hear that, Elder? Elder, did you hear that?
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So you see, so this woman of Samaritan, she's of the northern kingdom. She's a bloodline Israelite. The one that a book away got caught up in the northern kingdom and worshiping devils, sitting in the shadow of death, because they ran the teachers away, and they even to the day we speed all up to 2024. Where have the northern kingdom done today? The Mexicans, the Puerto Ricans, the Latinos. What they worshiping today? White man Jesus. See that? 99% of the Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Latinos is worship who? White man Jesus and white woman Mary and white. And Cornelius, if he's the first white man to come in, what's it tell you about the Israelites? If he's the first white man to come in, what's it tell you about the Israelites then? They couldn't have been white. So the children of Israel could not have been white. So by you having that low esteem of information, if Cornelius was a white man, if he's the first white man that was converted into the Israelites religion, then that makes the Israelites of another people being Cornelius, because Cornelius is the first white man. So that means the children of Israel, what? The black man. But then you turn right around and worship white man Mary and white man Polk and white man Cardinal. So you see what you're reading in that? Then you turn right around and do Sunday, which is the wrong day, then sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. So you see how you've been manipulated in this Bible. And that's why you think Cornelius is a white man. That was the first white man converted to the Israelite religion. See that? By letting them interpret the Bible to you. And once you read this letter, it'll tell you that King Leopold II of Belgium, the letter of 1883, he gonna break it all down to the Catholics, what he wants to do to get over there with them, with the niggers, they say. He said the niggers. They already had a name for they already had a name for him. But we got to manipulate him and all. So once you read this five-part letter, you'll get the whole breakdown. And if you want to jump in the real with this letter, that's fine too. But this right here, this letter from King Leopold of Belgium, this is worse than to you, 12 tribes of Israel, than the with this letter. It makes it so bad. See, everything that's been sealed, it's time for it to be revealed. And that's what we come to do. We come to reveal for you now to at least reason a little bit. You're reading the same steps as we read. How do you see Cornelius being a white man and the Israelites being white? Now, if Cornelius was a white man and the Israelites were white, then that's already a match all the time. If he's coming over to them, that means this is another people, Cornelius of the Northern Kingdom, same way this woman was of the Northern Kingdom, but their forefathers had them broke away from the truth, so that made them Gentiles. And not only that, when the seer of what the seer was of that time, by what they did, look what he said to them in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, see, we're going to break it down properly because we know you're not going to never be taught this unless Yahweh's voice goes to his wife, hold your foot to the fire, and show you certain words. That's why you got to know nationality. You can't use the word called European. What European you talking about? You got European white that took it from the European black, which was descendants of Japhetic peoples, which you call Hawaiian people, stuff like that. But biblically, the white people in the Bible is the sons of Esau. They're the five sons of Esau, biblically of the Bible. It's no such thing as no European, white or black. You got to have a father. Ain't nobody got no father named Europe or European. That's a trap word from holding you back from knowing the true identity. Everybody in the Bible must trace back to a father. So Cornelius, if he was a white man, that means he was a descendant of Esau. And if he was a black man, he was a descendant of Jacob, the name changed of Israel. See? That's why you gotta know nationality. You can't say, like the woman told me today, well, I said, well, what's your nationality? So I'm a born-again Christian. So that means she's been programmed to just be to say things. Like the parakeet. You can have a parakeet to read. You can show a parakeet something, he will read it. He don't understand what he reading. And that's what don't happen to us. We just parakeet stuff. So now you got a ministry that breaks this stuff down. You know? Break it down to you now. If you got ear to ear, we'll break it down to you. Now, so in 2 Kings chapter 3, we're going to pick up verse 8. Now listen to the conversation. See, we're going to take one verse at a time, Elder, because there's no accident that the big dignitary said, well, they locked off all the readers. If they want in a certain time, they're not coming in the room. Well, you know, so ain't no accident. So they do it. They going to do what they want to do. And we got to do what we got to do. So it's no accident. Ted, you can't just concentrate on showing you that it's time now to not let people just read something to you and tell you believe what we say. Make them precept that and back that stuff up. That's why you think Cornelius was a white man. But if he was a white man, he's from the sons of Esau. White folks come from Esau, five sons of Esau. That's it. That's his boy. All the white race are descendants of Esau. That's where they from. Not the Arabs. They from Esau, the white man and the white woman. So you need to know these things. Now, so we're going to 2 Kings chapter 3, Elder. Now, we're gonna take a look at something in verse number 8. We're going to look at one verse at a time, Elder. Because we're going to try to hope that we can make you reason to really examine by saying Cornelius was a white man. Look what happened here. Remember the woman at the well said, Yahweh the son and her, they got the same grandfather. So that let you know that was northern and southern kingdom conversation. So that means the Samaritan that we went to was of Israelite descent. Naphtali, Zebulun, all the northern kingdom, that's the proper breakdown because he said, our father will. Now, in 3 verse 8, Elder, listen to this conversation in 3 verse 8. 2 Kings 3 verse 8.
2 Kings chapter 3, reading verse number 8 says, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom.
Uh-huh. So the kings are talking about which way should we go up? Because they go and do a little fighting. Which way? Let's go up through the way of Edom, which is Esau. Let's go down through that way to get to where we got to get to. They're going to fight somebody. Let's go down. Let's go straight to Edom to get there. Esau land was right below Israel land. You go to your Google map. And you find the homeland of the white man or white woman is right below the land of Israel. Verse 9, one verse.
Verse 9 says, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Yadah Judah, and the king,
yes.
And they fetched a compass of 7 days,
uh-huh.
7 days journey, and there was no water for the host, and for the cattle that followed them.
Okay, good. Now look here. So now look what we got here. We got the king of Israel, northern kingdom, went, and the king of Judah, southern kingdom, and the king of Esau. So now these three different kings, see, Esau is a whole different bunch of people like Cornelius if he's the first white man, see a white man, he ran him. Esau is the white man. So he ran Cornelius, if he's the white man, he ran him. Right? Because Israel and Judah is not white. Esau is white. So if Cornelius was a white man, he belongs right here. But I'm not through with that right now. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse 10. Listen good. And verse 10.
Verse 10 says, "And the king of Israel said, Alas, the Yahweh has called the three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab."
Oh, so now, wait a minute. The king of Israel said, Alas, that Yahweh have called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of the Moabites. That's the Chinese. So he said, Yahweh's hand is in this thing. But now listen at verse number 11. Verse 11
says, "But Jehoshaphat said,"
Jehoshaphat
said, "Is there not here a seer of the Yahweh, that we may inquire of the Yahweh by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servant answered and said, "Here is Elijah, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah."
Now stop it there. Stop it there. So this is where the reason. This is where the reason come in at. Now Jehoshaphat, this is the king of Judah, Elder. See, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a seer among Yahweh that we may require of Yahweh by him?" And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, "One of the king of Israel, northern kingdom, servant say, he say, Elisha here." Now the plot to get, see the plot to get a little thicker now, and this is where we watch the best of them walk past this good stuff right here, but we ain't. Verse 12.
Verse 12 says, "And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Yahweh is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him."
Wait a minute, yo. That's big talk there. See, that's big talk in 12. And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of Yahweh is with him." With who? Elisha. Elisha, a seer, that's where the word at. Elisha got the word of Yahweh. The king of Israel do not, and Edom do not have it. Because remember, Israel of the northern kingdom is worshiping devils. Esau, we don't know what Esau, we don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're worshiping. See, I don't know what they were doing. So we know what the northern kingdom was doing. Now, listen at verse 13, Elder. See, this is where they keep you away from really examining this Bible, and you won't come up with the stuff that they come up with today if they really remember the reason they're taken away from us. That's why we pray to in our mind, white man Jesus, white man Mary, long day, don't keep no feast days. We do everything because we interpret the Bible to be contrary to the Bible. But listen what the seer said, which is we find out he is the man of Yahweh. Of course, this is the man of Yahweh talking now. This is the man of Yahweh talking, Elisha. Listen to what he says here in verse 13. What he says?
13 says, "And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the seers of thy father, and to the seers of thy mother."
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Elder. Wait a minute. See what the man said. He listened to Seer said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Remember, wait a minute, hold that point. We got to take care of it. We got time. Hold that point. Why you tell them you go to the seers of your father? Why you tell them that? Let's go back and examine that. We got a couple more minutes. Let's go to First Kings. Let's examine that. What happened? What happened here? Let's go back to First Kings 12. So you see, remember, Elisha is the man of Yahweh. Is that correct, Elder? Is that correct?
Hallelujah.
And he told the northern kingdom king, what I got to do with you? What I got to do with you? Go back to the seers of your father. Now, what are you talking about? Now, we're going to investigate that in the 12th chapter and see what you're talking about. We're going to the 12th chapter, and we're going to investigate that, Elder. We're going to the 12th chapter and see what happens. We'll see what Jeroboam said in verse 24. 12:24, 1 Kings 12:24. I'll tell you what.
1 Kings.
Read verse 23 just to make it sound good. Because like I said again, we know the national audience, they very confused because that's just the way it's been. When you read the Leopold letter, you'll find out why you're confused. But we come to make you think. 12, verse 23. Now, read verse 22 to make it sound good. Read verse 22 just to make it sound good. I can't take nothing for granted. Verse 22.
Okay, we're reading 1 Kings.
Yes. Yeah.
12:23, 22:23.
Yeah, just pick up verse 22, and let me deal with 22, and take one verse at a time. I want to deal with this right here, verse 22. Read that verse 22.
In the book of 1 Kings, reading from chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. 22 says, "But the word of Yahweh came unto Samaria." The man of Yahweh.
No, Shemaiah, the man of Yahweh.
I read it again. "But the word of the Yahweh came unto Shemaiah, the man of Yahweh, saying, 23, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Gadah, Judah, and unto all the family of Judah and Benjamin. And to the remnant of the people, saying."
Okay, 24. Listen good in 24. Now, this is Judah, Benjamin, and those that's connected into Israel. Listen what was said. Now, the man of Yahweh, he's coming now. He okay. And he's speaking to the king of Judah and Benjamin and the remnants of the people, saying what in verse 24?
24 says, "Thus says to Yahweh, you shall not go up nor fight against your brother, the family of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They have hearkened therefore to the word of the Yahweh and returned to depart according to the word of the Yahweh."
You see that? You see what they did? Now, you see what Judah and Benjamin did? Now, when the seer came to Judah and Benjamin, it told them, don't go fight against your northern kingdom brothers. Don't go fight against your brothers. Don't do it. So it was a war after they had a broke away in the 12th chapter. They was divided and they were split, and that's why it was conquered. Because the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom was fighting among themselves. Judah was told by the seer, the man of Yahweh, don't go up and fight against your brother. And they listened and they returned. And that will read, Elder?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That will read. Okay, now, watch what the northern kingdom do in 25. What did they do in 25? Now, here go the northern kingdom now. Look where it is. Let's read a little bit. Verse 25.
25 says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mount of Ephraim and dwelled therein and went out from thence and built Peniel.
Shechem, and Peniel. So now Jeroboam, he's the head man in the northern part. So he built up Shechem in the Mount Ephraim, northern kingdom, and dwell there within, and Peniel. So they were there. Verse 26. Listen to this right here. Verse 26. Now watch this. Listen to this.
26 says, and Jeroboam said unto his mind, how shall the kingdom return to the family of David?
Now, so Jeroboam said in his mind, so he said this in his mind, how shall the kingdom return back to? So now I got to block him from returning back to Judah. So now Jeroboam now got to come up with a plot to keep the northern kingdom from going back to the temple worshiping that was in Judah. So now he got to come up with a plot. What he said, let's listen to his plot in verse 27. What your plot is? What's on your mind in verse 27?
27 says, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Yahweh at Yahweh Judah, then shall the mind of his people turn again unto their Yahweh, even unto Rehoboam, the king of Yahweh Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, the king of Yahweh Judah.
Hey, that's something. Yeah, so now let's see every reason. You see what they're doing? So the northern kingdom king, Jeroboam, said in his mind, listen, we don't break away from the southern kingdom where the true Yahweh is at. So if I don't come up with something and the people go back to the southern kingdom and worship there, they're going to come back and want and kill me. So now you know Satan got in his head now, right? So now they're going to kill me. Is that what we're reading, Elder?
Hallelujah.
All right. What happened next? Then now, so now he reasoned in his mind now. So now he reasoned in his mind. What's the next verse?
28 says, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Yahweh Judah. Behold, thy Yahweh of Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
You see it? You see what he said? Now you see how he deliberated them people there? He said, it's too much for y'all to go way around them. So what I do, I just build something where it's convenient for you. Ain't that what they did today, Elder? And that's what I'm done today. We'll make it convenient for you. We just make something convenient. Why go to Yahweh's boss over to his wife? We will make something more convenient for you. Good? David, Elder, why? Y'all ain't got to do that. We'll make something convenient for you. Is that what he's saying, Elder?
Hallelujah.
And what happened next? Verse 29.
And then he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan.
So now he built up two temples. So he built a one in Bethel, and he built another one in Dan. And that what he did, Elder?
Hallelujah.
And what happened next in verse 30?
30 says, and this thing became a sin. So the people went to worship before the one, even unto man.
You see that? You see that? We see what happened, Elder? You see what happened? Now what he just did, now you don't cause the people to sin. You don't cause the people to sin now. This thing became a sin. Because all Israel met in one spot. You built two extra spots, and now the people have, now you caught them a sin. Now let's see what else you did, Elder. Now, what else did he do? The next verse.
31. And he made a house on high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi.
Now you hear that, Elder? Now you see what he did, Elder? Anybody that's going to obey him, the Lord of the people, the Lord. Hey, Elder, don't worry. He took the Lord of the people. And so remember, in this letter from King Leopold of Belgium, when he sent the missionaries over there, the missionaries went along with what he had to say. So they followed Leopold rules. They came skinning and grinning, and they came interpreting the Bible the way it fit Leopold. And he gave them exactly the blueprint on how to work on, in all words, the niggas. This is what you work on, these niggas. And word niggas, the Latin word, all means black. This is what you do to work on them. Be telling the priest now, he's supposed to be the man of the Most High. Now, let you know the Catholic Church ain't the man of the Most High, because you listen to a man tell you what to do. The man told you what to do, and he got it in his own right, in his five-part letter, exactly what I want y'all to do when you get over there with them niggas called the blacks. How you manipulate their brain as you are done today. But they're getting it from here, Elder. This is what he came up with it at. And 31, and he made the temple of the high place and make the priests of the Lord of the peoples, which was not of the sons of Levi. Right? Right, Elder?
Hallelujah, well.
And we're in verse 32.
Okay. Had walked to get my herbal tea that was got hot. In verse 32 says, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, and on the fifth day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Yadah Judah. And he offered up on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of high places, which he had made.
So he did it? The trumpet's own thing. And that's what we're doing today? And that's what the world doing today? And they're doing their own thing? And they got their own feast days now? What they call today? Christmas, Easter, New Year's. Good Friday. There's right there, yo. There's right now. There's right there. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Good Friday, you know, George Washington Day, the President Day, is right now. And Jeroboam ordained a feast on the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that was in Yadah Judah. It wasn't the pieces in Yadah. He came up with his own thing. Is that what he did, Elder?
Hallelujah.
And we're in verse 33.
33 says, so he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own mind. And then, and ordained a feast unto the family of Israel. And he offered up on the altar and burnt incense.
Wait a minute, it wasn't of the scripture. It wasn't of the scriptures. That was going on in Judah. It was of what, Elder? His own mind.
His own mind.
So now you can see the rift between the southern and northern kingdom now. So now there go your rift, because the northern kingdom was going off of what Jeroboam had did, and that had them increase. This is years, hundreds of years later, and it was still going on. And that's why the woman at the well say, by you being from the southern kingdom, you ain't got no dealing with the northern kingdom. Why, Elder? Because they're going off their own mind. Is that what we read, Elder?
Hallelujah.
And the northern kingdom is worshiping devils. Didn't we read that, Elder?
Hallelujah.
Okay. Now, so with all that understanding, now let's go back to that third chapter. Now you understand what this man was saying, Elisha was saying, when you precept the Bible. Now come on back to 3:13 again. 3:13, and now we can really understand what Elisha's saying. Remember, Elisha is the man of Yahweh from the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom have no dealing with the northern kingdom, Israel. They have no dealing with them. Now, Elisha is from the southern kingdom because they ran off all the ones that's of Yahweh because they was worshiping the devil in the northern kingdom. They were sitting in the shadow of death. Didn't we read that over there? Didn't we read that the northern kingdom was sitting in the shadow of death, Elder?
Hallelujah.
Let's get a precept on that, too. Let's get a precept on that, too. Let's go back to Numbers. Let's go back and get a precept on that, Dan. Where I want to get it. I need a precept on that. How about Isaiah 9:1-2? I need a precept. Make sure we get a precept on it. 9:2. Let's talk. Let's remember. Naphtali, Zebulun is called the Gentiles. They are the northern kingdom. Isaiah prophesied about them in the 9th chapter because he was around when they was around. Listen what he says in the 9th chapter, verse 1. Isaiah 9:1-2. Listen good. What it say, Elder?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 9, reading verses 1 and verse 1-2. 1 says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the lands of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations.
Roger now. 2.
The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. Dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them had the light shined.
You see that, Elder? You see that? Now look what he said. Naphtali, and Zebulun, Galilee of the nation, that's the word Gentile really means, the people that sit in darkness, they sit in the shadow of death. Why? Because you remember what Jeroboam did back there? You know what Jeroboam did hundreds of years before that, before Isaiah, right? He had a mercy in the devils, right?
Hallelujah.
You see that? So he had a mercy in the devils. So that put them in the shadow of death. See, when you're doing contrary to southern kingdom, Judah, you is in the shadow of death. Northern kingdom, even today, northern kingdom, they want to go watch statues that supposed to cry now. Call Mary, going to cry sometime this year. She's going to start crying. See? White Mary and white baby Jesus, they're going to start crying, and I'll be there watching them cry, if I can cry. See that? See, that's what the reason is. See, the reason is gone, and the Leopold letter is worse than the letter of, what I said letter was called? The Willie Lynch letter. This is worse than that. This is when he sent the Catholic ministers over there up under his dictation to work over the black folks. And then introduced them to Christianity. That's why the woman told me today, I am, what'd she say? The words she used, she said, I'm a born-again Christian. She told me, I'm a born-again Christian. See that? See, all reason is out the door. I said, no, all I can do is just wipe my eyes and prayerfully you log into the broadcast and learn something. She a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
See that? Born-again Christian. So we see Naphtali and Zebulun, they sit in the shadow of death because they got no Yahuwah with them. And what word is they called, Elder? Come back to Matthew chapter 4. Now, that's correct. Matthew chapter 4. See, what they call, when you sit in the shadow of death, death is all on you. What are you called? In verse 15. Matthew 4:15. What are you called? 4:15.
Verse number 15 says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the seas beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
So when you sit in darkness, the shadow of death, you call what? A Gentile.
Gentile.
A Gentile. But he talked about Israelites. That's what Cornelius is, an Israelite. He trying to break out of that shadow of death. And he told Cornelius, go find Peter, the Jew, Judah. He going to tell you what you got to do. Now, let's go back to this first king again. Come back to the first king. And I'm going to come back to the 10th chapter. This is very interesting right here. See, and this letter of King Leopold, it just seals the deal. I mean, we got all the education in the world. We got all the big degrees, big positions in the world, and we still don't know his name. It's not Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah. And we are right past reason because Leo, in this letter, King Leopold II told him, beat the reason out of them. They don't need the reason. You just break it down and interpret it for them. And that's what's going on.
They say they already know. You don't have to teach them what they already know. Teach them something else.
That's right.
And the part that I didn't read, they call them a name when they don't believe in Christianity in that letter. They call them pagans.
Yeah.
And they went over there to teach the pagans Christianity.
Right.
Not only they were, if they didn't, they beat them, killed them, or used them as an example until they accepted the name of Lord God Jesus.
And Jehovah. You see that? You see that?
And Jehovah.
Hey.
Yep.
You see that? It's right here, right? See, whatever been sealed, it can't be revealed. Here it is right here. And they get it from here. So that's how they don't twist themselves to be in this book. In the part of they can receive salvation and done all this manipulation. How you going to do all that? You have never repented. Esau and his five sons, they never repented. Matter of fact, the Bible made it plain in the book called Ezekiel 15, let's see what it said in Ezekiel. He made a statement in Ezekiel 30 verse 15. What he say that got to be done, Elder? In 30 verse 15. Now listen to this. Now you tell me, have this happened yet? Has it happened yet? 30 verse 15 of Ezekiel.
In Ezekiel chapter 30 verse 15 says, and I will pour my fury upon sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of
men. Wait a minute. You in Ezekiel?
Ezekiel chapter 30.
Make it 33:15. 33:15. This is what he said in 33:15. Read verse 1 and 15. Listen to this.
Okay, verse number 1 and 15. Verse number 1, Ezekiel 33, verse 1. Again, the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying,
verse 15.
If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, sin, you shall surely live. You shall not die.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Elder. But what they got to do? What they got to do? But for salvation to live, they got to do what again, Elder?
Walk in the statutes of life without committing sin.
No, they got to do something else, Elder. They got to do something real big.
They got to restore the pledge.
If the wicked restore the pledge, give again what they have robbed. What they done robbed? They done taken Japhetic land that they call Europe. They done took the 10 northern tribes of land called America. They done took the land of Israel and they done took that land. They done took three lands. And they never tell you they borders is right down the road. Esau's land is right down the road. They got to announce on the 10 o'clock news, on Peggy Flynn News, we're going to give back what we stole from you, and we're going back to our homeland. Our homeland is Mount Seir. And see, that's one of the greatest mysteries. The white man and white woman's land is not Europe. They not European. They not from... They call it America. This was 10 Northern Tribes land. You not from the land of Israel. That is called the 12 Tribes land. You from down the road a piece called Mount Seir. See that? So for you to be part of salvation and receiving it, they have to give again that which they have robbed. They have taken the northern world, called America. They are taking the Europe land, and they say they're from Europe. No. They say they're from Israel. No. You're not from there, one of these lands. He said the only way you're going to make it to some salvation, you got to give again that which you have robbed. Walk in the statutes of life without committing sin. He shall certainly live, and he shall not die. Now, Elder, that's plain but day, Elder. Now, had that ever happened? Had that happened yet?
I ain't seen it.
So that means he on a what? He on a death sentence. I mean, if you don't, you know, you ever heard of that you on a death sentence? They got a death sentence? He said, I'm on a death sentence. They're going to call me for the neck and chair soon because I'm in, and don't they got a penitentiary called the ones that's on the death row or something, Elder?
I don't know how to call it,
huh? Isn't the penitentiary called where, you know, where the death row, where it got placed where that's the death row is, right?
Yeah, they separate the prisoners, the ones on death row. They waiting for their turn.
Listen, he gave an option for the wicked, Elder. He said, listen, if you give again that which you have robbed, right? Walk in the statue of life without committing sin. He shall surely live, and he shall not die. Is that what we're reading, Elder?
Hallelujah.
So has that happened yet?
Haven't seen it.
So what role is they on as we speak then, the wicked? What role is the wicked on right now? according to verse 15. This is the only way you can get up out of it. This is the only way you can get up out of it in him. Is that what we're reading, Elder?
That's what we're reading.
Okay, let's precept that to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Let's see what we're talking about. Let's see. I mean, so now, so you will know. Now, in the book of Hebrews, now, if this ain't happened, that means you still on the death sentence roll until the 10 o'clock news, the big dignitaries come clean and say, look, we're going to give back what we have stolen, robbed. Even Putin found some pictures and said, look here, we found some black man, black Jesus, and black baby Mary, and we want to worship these pictures. We're going to put them in all our cathedrals. We ain't going to hide it no more. So Putin did come clean. He came clean so far. He did, but the United States ain't caring none of that speech about Putin saying that everybody in Russia going to have to worship black man Jesus and black baby Jesus and Mary. Putin said it, but it ain't going no further than that. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Now watch this now. Now listen to this, Elder. 12, verse 16 and 17. Watch this now. Look what this Bible say. 16 and 17. What does it say? 12, 16,
Hebrews 17. Hebrews chapter 12, reading 16 and 17. 16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. 17.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
He cried, and that what they don't know in Israel, and they cried for stone, but they ain't going to repent, Elder. They're gonna cry, but they ain't going to repent. Esau did not repent then. He ain't going to repent now. He's going to take it all the way in, Elder. Now, I don't watch the 10 o'clock news, but the first time that the big dignitaries of Esau and his five sons, the white man and white woman, come on the airways and say, we're going back home to our land. What land are you going to? You're not going to Europe. That's not your homeland. I'm going to America, not your homeland. I'm going to Israel. That's not your homeland. Esau, let's go get their homeland. Now let's go see the Bible say your homeland is now. See, that's just like I say, they were taught not to reason. And that's why we're in trouble today. We let other people teach us and nobody wanna know the reason. Where is your homeland at? What Esau, where in the Bible says your homeland at? We're going to read them. We're going to the 33rd chapter. We're going to the 33rd chapter of Genesis.
33rd?
Yeah.
Okay.
And read verse 16. Now look at this.
Going to the book of Genesis. Looking at the 33rd chapter, verse number 16 says, So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir.
What did Esau go to?
Unto Seir.
That's his homeland. That's his homeland, El. So Esau returned and went back home. Esau returned. And let's get a precept with that. So Esau returned and went on back to Seir. Let's get a precept on that by going to Numbers. Let's get a precept on that. See, now when you precept the Bible, that's it. But go and get a precept on that. Make it Deuteronomy, Captain. Make it Deuteronomy. I need to get a precept on that, Elder. I need to get a precept on that. See, that's what I say. Once we learn that, once we learn this lesson, and pick it up at verse 2, Deuteronomy 2, verse 1.
Deuteronomy chapter 2, reading verse number 1.
Uh-huh.
1 says, then we returned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Yahweh spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days.
Two down to fish five. Two.
Okay, 2 to 5. And the Yahweh spake unto me, saying, 3, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. 4, and commanded thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the family of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. 5, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession.
Now, I pray that, Elder. Yahweh have given Esau Mount Seir, that land, for their possession. So there go your homeland. What you doing on that fighting about the land of Israel for? This is your homeland. Whatever that man name over there in Israel, he your homeland here. Ain't that right, Elder? Is that right, Elder?
Hallelujah.
Didn't Yahweh say, I gave it to Esau for a possession? Don't meddle with them because I gave them that land. Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah. That's what we're reading.
Now, has it ever been taught, Elder? Have you ever heard it taught anywhere?
No. That's what we teach.
Let's go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. See, I mean, we just shoot it from the hip. We're not looking at nothing. The spirit of Yahweh just shoot it from the hip. See, that's why we call Cornelius a Gentile, not knowing the breakdown of the Bible. The 24th chapter. Look at saying 24th chapter, Elder, verse number 4. Listen to this precept. Joshua 24, verse 4.
Joshua 24, reading verse 4, says, and I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, his name is Israel, and Esau, and I gave them unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Israel and his children went down to Egypt.
Where's Esau land at?
Mount Seir.
You see that, Elder? And who gave him the land? Yahweh gave him the land. Yahweh did not give you Europe. Yahweh didn't give you America. Yahweh didn't give you Israel. Yahweh gave you Mount Seir. Is that right, Elder?
Hallelujah.
Now, until they come clean and confess their homeland and stop taking the three lands that don't belong to them, send us over their head. It's no salvation by long you keep lying. So there go your lands right there. Now, let's go back to that, and that'd be my last verse. Go back to that first king again. I mean, what was that? King, 2 Kings 3. Now we can understand this last verse, Elder, and then we're gonna stop it right there. See, it's very interesting, this lesson. See, and that letter from King Leopold is worse than with a list letter. All you got to do is read it. Now, they set you up today. Now, come back and read verse number. Now you understand what he's saying in verse 13. 13 and 14. We'll cut it off. Look what it said in verse 13. 2 Kings 3:13. Listen to this.
In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, reading 13 says, And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the seers of thy father and to the seers of thy mother. And the king of Israel and said unto them, nay, for the Yahweh hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab.
You see that? Now, watch what Elisha say in 14. Listen to this. Watch this. 14. Did you hear?
And Elisha said, as the Yahweh of hosts, look, therefore whom I stand, surely it were not as I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Yada Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee.
You did just say it, Elder? Did you the man just say it? He said, it is not for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. I ain't got nothing to do with the northern kingdom. You the man just said it. If Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was not there in your presence, and if I'd have seen you, I would turn my back and walk away from you. Why? Because we just read your history. We just read your history. You were broke away from everything, northern kingdom, and that's what happened with, what his name? In the 10th chapter, Cornelius, he from the northern kingdom, but now it's time for the northern kingdom to come back and get up on the banner of Judah because they don't pay their penalty. We can go on and on, but we're going to stop right there. That's why I said, we just reading the Bible. We not reason at all. And if Yahweh give you something, you can't refuse what Yahweh give you. If he gave you Mount Seir, then he expects to see you when he come back in Mount Seir. Not in Europe, not in America, and not in Israel. That's big talk here. That's big talk. So you gotta denounce everything you did on that TV, on that one-hour thing. Announce all that stuff that you stole, robbed, and you going back to your homeland, then you be in line for salvation. So when that happens, we know you're on a death sentence. The Roman Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, and the WCC all on a death sentence. For the sins of Esau. Until you denounce, with this book just after you're reading, take 31, you on a death sentence, according to this Bible. Elder, close the statement. You open that door, Elder, up so I blame this on you, Elder. You open that door up tonight. Closing statement, Elder. Take your time and close it out.
Yahweh bless the seer, the mothers, and all the participants of camp number one, and all the people that are listening to the word of Yahweh. And remember to cut out the confusion. Accept the word of Yahweh. Remember that we're given a reminder of the word of Yahweh in the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16, which says, seek ye out of the book of the Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall match her meat. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit hath gathered them. So we're already told by the word of Yahweh, read from the book of Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent. Read the book of Yahweh. Take the reason from Esau and his five sons and the Chinese and all the rest of them and the Japanese and get the one true teaching from Yahweh voice over to his life. We're not anti-anybody. We learned about it and broke it down. Reason why you think Cornelius is a white man because you don't understand the breakdown of the northern kingdom, broke away and start worshiping Satan the devil. Cornelius then finally woke up to go back to Peter, the Judah, and learn the truth. And that's how you come in today. You got to walk away from Christianity, Islam, Judaism, white man, Jesus, Sunday, and keeping Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and calling the true name. Put the Lord, God, Jesus, Jehovah now, and call on the one name, Yahweh. From the elders to the mothers, the sisters and brothers, all on the international side, the Catch you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And we're not anti-anybody. We just pro 12 tribes of Israel. Shalom.